Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 51. The servant's duty is our sermon title. The context is for our meditation. It's the prospect of our Lord's soon return. We have been speaking at length concerning the signs leading up to Christ coming again. And we have seen that all these signs are manifested before us in our generation. And we have also seen how these signs are manifesting in increasing intensity as we read the papers daily. Indeed, we could see that our Lord's return is even at the doors. And we also have seen how the world is marching head on toward the rise of the Antichrist. A time of great tribulation and judgment is coming upon planet Earth, and a one world system will soon come to pass as we see God's prophetic clock ticking away, fulfilled as we read the events that are unfolding before us in the world. And last week, we saw from our text in verses 36 to 44, the imminence of the rapture. And we want us to recall what we said last week concerning how we ought to prepare for Christ coming again. Well, these are the Lord's words, and we want to recap. The Lord says, do not set dates. Do not be complacent. Do not be left behind. Be sure that you are a child of God. Watch and be ready. This was where we left off last Lord's Day. How can we be watchful and be ready for the Lord's return? Jesus is the motivational speaker par excellence. He does so by giving us a vision of the future. And he shows to us two destinations. And he shows to us, depending upon our choice, how we would live our lives, the way we would live, how we can get there, or how we can end up there. Two thoughts that we want us to see, framed by three words for our text today. Reliable, reward, rejoicing. Verses 45 to 47. Riotous, reproach, regret. These are six words that has been carefully chosen to help us to understand, as a child of God, as someone who is living this Christian life, what is it that God wants you to do as you prepare for the imminence of His return? You notice from our text that the focus of our Lord is upon our behavior. How we live our lives. How we interact with the people around us. This is the first thought that we want to bring before you. from verses 45 to 47. And it says here, who then is faithful? The word there means trustworthy. The word there means dependable. And I've selected the word reliable. And wise. The word there can be paraphrased as a sensible. Someone who would know the will of God and have the strength to do the will of God, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. 45, verse 45 is a summary statement of our text. And the Lord tells us that he's going to come again and that there is going to be a consummation of life in humankind's history. And what you do will have a direct impact on what you will be in the future. Don't you want to know how to live today in the light of that future? Verse 46 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. We want to meditate upon this first thought, the three words, reliable, reward, rejoicing. As you consider the Christian life, what would God want you to be? Well, the Lord wants you to live a sanctified, godly, committed, dedicated life. Persevering, earnestly serving Him, earnestly contend for the faith, living a life of carefulness, knowing that we are living in Satan's world, that every temptation that comes our way seek to trip us when we are not careful. How we need to be tenacious, conscientious. Well, this is something that the Lord wants us to do as we consider the duty of the servant. And as we consider how a servant ought to be, well, we have selected the word to be reliable. And this is a consistent Christian life of service that the Lord wants us to cultivate. A consistent Christian life. What do I mean by that? Well, if you were to look in the characters of the Old Testament, the man Joseph, the man Daniel, the man Joshua fit that description. They live a consistent life before God. And the Lord wants us to be able to cultivate and to be able to go in that path of towards spiritual maturity, whereby He can entrust responsibilities, souls, men and women in our care. You know, there are those in our midst who are not married yet. One day, God is going to bring them the spouse of His choice. And then God is going to give to them children whom God would entrust their lives into their hand. And as we think of this, we think of the grave responsibility of bringing up children, families that would impact the world for Christ in the generations to come. And as we think about this thought that Jesus brings before us, he wants the servant to be faithful. I've selected the word reliable, and this is the word that means to be dependable. And I look up several wise sayings, as it were. What is it to be dependable? Well, this man, Floyd Burnett, he says this: dependability is more important than talent. Dependability is a talent, and it is a talent all can have. It makes no difference how much ability we possess if we are not responsible and dependable. The Father who sent our Lord Jesus Christ could depend upon Him 100% to accomplish the Father's will. And you, as a father on earth, for those of us who are fathers and mothers, you are entrusted with lives for your care. And how you take care of these lives would have an eternal impact upon their souls. And we realize that God has deemed it fit for some of us to be entrusted with children. And there are others who are entrusted in your workplace with a responsibility to take care of those who work together with you. You have a responsibility to help them in their growth. And as a Christian, you realize that we have a duty and a responsibility to impact the people around us for eternity. And the Lord wants us to realize that our life can make and will make an impact on the people around us. And He wants us to realize that we are not our own, but we have been bought by Christ with a great price. And that we have been given a great mandate by God to do His will. The only people who count are those who can be counted on. The Lord entrusts you with many responsibilities as a Christian. And the Lord expects that you would fulfill them to the honor and glory of His name. And as the Lord speaks concerning the Christian's duty, well, He shows to us what we ought to do, how we can be that reliable servant for God. And the Lord not only point out that we are to be faithful, but the Lord also says that we are to be wise. Not only does He tell us that we have to build a consistent life of piety, of faith toward God, but He tells us that we are to live that life according to His purpose and will. And I've selected for you this text in Proverbs 22, verses 17 to 21, to help us to see and understand how you can be a wise servant of God. Solomon says in verse 17 of Proverbs 22, Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou wilt keep them within thee. They shall wither be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. And it is no accident that the Lord has allowed us to study through the Gospel of Matthew. As you study through, you would be able to understand the will of God for your life. And Solomon says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. That the Lord is coming again. There is a consummation to life. And that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. How can we be a wise servant? Well, we are to know the word of God. And our text tells us that we are to pay attention to know the will of God. We are to bow down and hear. To bow down speaks of a deliberateness to turn away from something and turn towards something. Right? It is a turning away from the world and a turning towards the Lord, towards His Word, from goal, away from goal, and come to God, to His Word, to bow down. It's a self-effacing posture. It's a humble posture. It's a subservient posture. The Lord wants His servant to be wise, and He can do so when He would imbibe the wisdom of God's Word, where we are willing to be taught, willing to clear our hearts and minds of all distraction and turn our attention by opening our ears, preparing our hearts with utmost contrition to be blessed. Well, the Lord tells us that He wants you to be a faithful and wise servant. And so the Word of God tells us that you are to pay attention and listen to His instruction. You are to apply your heart to it. You are to keep them in your heart. And you are to have them ready in your lips. The Lord tells us, give us exactly what we ought to do. And we are to take time to build our Christian life. And text gives to us also three attitudes when we approach the study of His Word. How can we gain that wisdom? With faith, with humility, with confidence. 19, 20, 21. And so the Lord tells us that He wants us not only to be faithful, someone whom He can entrust you a work, and someone who is prepared. You recall the man Ezra? The Bible tells us that the Lord prepared his heart. He took time to know the Word of God. And he took time to imbibe it in his heart. And he took time to practice it. And then he took time to teach it to others. Well, it's a painstaking process, spiritual growth. But the Lord wants you, if you want to be useful for God, to make sure that you are on the side of God's will to be a wise servant before Him. And the Lord tells us that there is a reward that you would receive. Verse 45. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. And verse 47 says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. There is a time coming when God would recreate this universe. And the Bible tells us that we are to reign with Christ in a time to come. To reign with Christ. To have dominion over God's creation. You know, today, if you look at human history, you see 7,000 years of disaster. Men don't know how to reign over God's creation because of the sin nature. And God wants you as his child to be able to become wise, to be able to learn to reign with the character of God. That's why as you live, as God entrusts us with his word, with his work, he wants us to live our lives by his character. Revelation 20 verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Well, the Lord tells us that we are created with a very special purpose to be co-heirs with God. To reign with Christ is a very mind-boggling thought if you think about it. And Revelation 20 verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that has the part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? The rapture. On such, the second death hath no power. What is this second death? The great white throne judgment. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, we are going to reign with Christ when Christ would set up his kingdom upon earth. This is the last kingdom, as we have been studying, that Christ will have to come and rule, because men just don't know how to rule. He is prone to be a menace. We just saw in the news how there is another terrorist attack causing the whole world to be, you know, in a state of shock, in a state of fear. Men solve problems by violence. And the Lord also tells us that we are not only going to reign with Christ in the millennium to come, 1,000 years, but we will reign with Christ forever and ever. You know, we have not really understood yet what the new heaven and the new earth will be. How God is going to recreate the universe. How you are going to have a part in this beautiful universe that God will give you a part to reign with him. Revelation 21 verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, there is a time coming when the future will be so glorious you cannot imagine what it is like now. But he tells us that each time you overcome sin in your life, each time you put on an attribute of Christ in your heart, in your life, in your interaction with the people around you, you are preparing yourself to reign with Christ. To reign by the character, the attribute of God. And while you are here, He would give to you trials, He would give to you temptations in order to build your character, that you may conform to the image of Christ. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So there is another way, another path that the Lord tells us that man would end up. But here He tells us that there is a good way, and He wants you to walk in that way. And Revelation 22 verses 5 and 6 give us the consummation, as it were. It says here, "And there shall be no nights there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He saith, and He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants which must shortly be done." These things are going to come to pass. And the Lord tells us that we are going to reign with Him in eternity. And the Lord wants us to be prepared for that time. And how we live our life now would have an impact upon how we would reign with Christ in eternity. We don't want to be like the rich man that is described in Jesus' parable. You remember how he was a covetous man, right? And the Lord warns that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Be careful, the Lord says. Do not spend your time building this earth's empire. You'll find that you will regret. And so the Lord says that there was that man who brought forth plentifully. And he says, "I have no room to bestow all my possessions." And so he says, "I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods." But the Lord said to him, "Soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so as we think concerning the faithful servant, the Lord says that your life ought to be rich toward Him, not toward the things of this world. How was Jesus faithful when He was upon earth? Well, this is a snapshot of what Jesus did when he was upon earth. He sets for us the example. Right? We have gone through this before. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. How Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease, and how he was moved with compassion upon the souls that came within the proximity of his life, and how he had compassion on the souls that were before him. Well, you'll find that in your life, God will bring souls. Souls which are troubled, souls which are fainted, souls which are scattered, as it were, and sheep, like sheep having no shepherd. Well, the Lord tells us that the world is a weary world. Many people are in trouble. And God has done a good work for you in your life. Restore your life. And give you abundance of spiritual blessings. So much so that your cup overflows. And the Lord wants that overflow to reach the people around you. And so this was what Jesus did. Remember, we have said this before. How was Jesus faithful in discharging the Father's mission that was given to him? It was hard work. He went about all the cities and the villages. It was hard work. He was moved with compassion on the multitude. There are people around you that you would meet along the week that is in trouble. They would need help. And the Lord wants you to take time to these poor souls to minister to their need. And a Holy Spirit led work. It is not by our own strength that we can serve God, but it is by the power of God in our lives. Jonathan Goforth was a missionary to China in the 20th century. And one of his favorite hymns is Lord Crucified. How he understood the need, the importance of keeping his soul burning with God's love. He says, Lord Crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men. Oh, keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. We have said this weekly tract packed. Two invitation cards, three tracts. I urge you to pick it up and pray and do something from this week. You will make an impact when you do something. Remember we said that, you know, going and give a tract to somebody does not require, you know, us to be very talented, just, you know, to have the heart to bring it to that person whom the Lord would lead you to and give it to that person. Share to that person, with that person. And how do we become faithful and wise servants? Well, we have to take time to build our spiritual life. Your quiet time. Your worship time. Your prayer time. The Lord wants you to take time to cultivate your soul, to cultivate your heart, to cultivate your faith. Family time. To cultivate godliness amongst members of your family. Reading of God's word for direction. Singing a meaningful hymn. Time together as a family to encourage one another in the things of God. Well, this is what God wants you to do. Would you take time? The Lord wants you to grow. Grow in holiness. Grow in faith. Grow in peace. Grow in joy. Grow in love. Grow in the Spirit's fruit. Paul says, when he contrasted the carnal life with the life of God, we are to bear the Spirit's fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You will find that God will bring circumstances, events in your life. And as you pray, as you seek to want to follow God, walk with God, the Lord will make all these circumstances together to help you to build these virtues. Paul says, against such there is no law, there is no condemnation. If you manifest the Spirit's character, you manifest the Spirit's attribute, God's attribute. It's blessing and blessing all the way. And that's what the Lord is saying to us we are to do. And He tells us that as we cultivate our lives, as we manifest the character of Christ, you'll find that a time will come when the Lord would return and He would bring His reward with Him to us. So the Apostle Paul wrote, he says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, have you been doing good things that account to righteousness and immortality, worthy of the Lord's reward? Or things which are bad? Well, the Lord tells us that a loss of reward. And, you know, to help paraphrase it a little bit, you have Solomon's words concerning reward and the loss of reward. This he learned it at the end of his life. At the book end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us the summary of man's duty before God. He says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of men. Right? The word duty is in the italics. This is the whole of men. This is all that man is to do, to fear God and to keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so this first thought brings us to the reward that he would, that would await us at his coming. And he tells us that he wants you to be reliable, someone that he can depend upon to do his will. And he tells you that a time of reward is coming, and that reward is so glorious, so great, you would enjoy it for an eternity. Now we cannot understand what is eternity. But God wants us to see with the eyes of faith, by God's eyes, what is eternity? Rejoicing. How you'd be so happy at that time. Now you may be facing persecutions, facing difficulties as you resist temptations, as you take a stand for Christ, to live according to the will of God, to keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. You seem to lose a lot of things, but be comforted. Your reward is yet to come, and you will not regret it. That's our first thought. Rejoicing. And then he tells us that there is a second scenario. From verses 48 to 51. Riotous, reproach, regret. He tells us that you don't want to be there. Be careful, verse 48 says. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink, and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he will not be aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him with his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Well, it's a picture of regret. Whipping, gnashing of teeth, right, of great regret. Right. No turning back. The Lord tells us that he wants us to realize that this life that we live, how we behave, would impact eternity. He tells us, do not have a heart of unbelief. And he tells us, smite not fellow servants. Why did our Lord say that? Interesting, isn't it? Be not partakers with the drunkards, he tells us. Well, you find that although Christ has freed us from the bondage of sin, you are still in the flesh. And you struggle, we struggle, to be able to live this consistent life to manifest the character of God. And there is one consistent trait, there's one consistent message that is given by Christ and the apostles concerning what we ought to do. And he tells us as we conclude. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also loved one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. As you look at it, you find it so difficult, isn't it, to live it out. We wrestle within us against the flesh, against the evil that seek to overcome us to manifest God's love. But we realize that the love of God is supernaturally given to us as a Spirit's fruit. We have to seek it. We have to cultivate. It doesn't come naturally. We have to take time in the study of God's Word, watching our behavior, watching ourselves, how we speak, how we act. And we realize that we are not perfect. We are far from it. Many things we need to learn. Apostle Peter says the same thing. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. Seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Apostle John says in 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Finally, the Apostle Paul says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. As you spend time with God, as you spend time to look at your spiritual life, you would find that God would enable you to grow and put on His character. And you would find that when we do so, we would be able to serve Him. And He wants us to take time so that we indeed may be that person of blessing to the people around us. Verse 46 of our text, a memory verse, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing what? Well, taking time to cultivate your spiritual life, that your life may conform to the image of Christ, that the Spirit's fruit may be a part of your life, and that you would have an impact wherever you go, because the life of God is manifested through you. And this, the Lord tells us, will be His will for all of us as we see the day of His coming fast approaching. May we be reliable, faithful and wise servant before God. There is a reward and a rejoicing awaiting us. Never dream of what it will be. But God will prepare it personally, and Christ will hand it to you. And there is also the other part, a riotous life. You receive reproach from God, and there would be regrets. We don't want to regret. But God wants us to indeed be rejoicing. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy word, showing us the Christian duty, the servant's duty before God. O Lord, we realize how marvelous thy word is in teaching us how we ought to, how we can be faithful, how can be a, we can be a wise servant that is blessed of thee. O God, help us to be up and about doing. Give us thy Spirit's strength that we may indeed do thy will, just as Christ did. Be willing to work hard and be willing to keep thy love burning in our hearts and be willing to depend upon thee to do thy will in our lives. Help us, Lord. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.